You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Got a bit rattled there, forgot to press the button for Maxine to sing, but anyhow, we've done it. Now, I'll just turn it off. Now, we cut the first segment down to 35 minutes, Don, because you said people's attention span, they've got basically of a whip fly.
That's right.
And so that was a 35. So then when we finish off the first segment, Max, who is here, is part of
fill in for Michael Christian.
Mick had to leave hurriedly, unfortunately, and we were going to have him sit in because he had a couple of pearlers, some jokes. Working a bit blue, Mick, but he had some very good jokes about various things. But he had to rush off. I'm not sure why, but he did. And so, but he left that book with you, Remembering Melbourne. Remembering Melbourne. If you read one page of that, I'll be staggered. Mind you, if you're dyslexic, you probably won't be able to. Now, so then just before we finished off last, Max here said, do you have a sports segment, Don? And then you said, well, let's just start the sports segment. So, Max, if you'd like to ask Don a question about sport or football, seeing as you're the football guru, and glad you're here because we don't know a hell of a lot about it. So go ahead.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam?
What?
Go on, Max.
Oh, sorry. Don, did you watch Adelaide v Carlton on Sunday?
No, I watched 5 minutes.
No is the answer to that.
Okay, well, games I did watch.
Hang on.
I watched
he
a bit
ask
of.
You that.
I watched a bit of. I watched the start of the Hawthorn
Essendon
game.
All right.
And also,
how'd they go?
It was interesting that Hawthorn started off well, but Essendon came back home with a wet sail. And I also, Max, watched the VFL. It was played at Windy Hill, Essendon, and Essendon Reserves were playing Box Hill Hawks. And I thought that was very interesting too, because what I noticed was that there was a female umpire. Now, are they required in the VFL to bounce the ball? Because this lady was throwing it up at the centre.
I would think it would depend on the conditions, like when it's wet.
I understand, right. And they did that in our
windy
day
Hill
too,
was,
Max.
Was windy, was
no,
windy Hill,
it was terrific.
Windy.
Everything was good, Max.
Everything
was good. Because what I'm going to...
down,
Don. Anyway,
actually,
come on, Max.
Hang,
so
actually,
what's your
I would actually love to talk to you about that after I ask my initial question.
Yes,
so you
what
didn't
is
watch,
your question?
You didn't watch any of Carlton v Adelaide?
No.
Right. Do you know the Adelaide Ruckman's name?
No.
Right. Riley O'Brien.
Okay.
Dad, do you know him?
No, Max.
Okay. Carlton unfortunately lost their key ruckman, Mark Pitnett, to a PCL injury.
But that was the week before, wasn't it?
It was a couple of weeks before. Yep. They have Jack Silvani, who's very good for
what,
a young
jumping
player,
up in the ruck?
As a second ruckman. And
really?
They had Tom De Koning, who's I think a third or fourth year player.
But he's
I'm
tall,
sure.
Isn't he? He's raising me tall.
He's quite tall, that's fair enough. But Riley O'Brien, I only watched 15 minutes of the game, and then that time, Riley O'Brien got pushed under the ball by Jack Silvani in two contests and got out-crafted in the middle at the centre bounce multiple times.
So
and
you're
I
dishing...
I can't believe a key ruckman that's been around the league for yonks and has shown great things got out-crafted by a small
forward. Okay, there's two...
Now he's 6'2", but
so
he's still a small
forward. So you're dishing Riley O'Brien.
Well, I don't get how...
Okay, well, I'll tell you, Max. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Number one, Riley O'Brien, a lot of big men do not lift weights properly.
Right.
And they're not strong. Just because they're tall, they think they can get away with a lot of things. But in comparison to a smaller man, they're not as strong because they don't push the weights as vigorously or as enthusiastically.
Fair enough.
Other thing, when you are a ruckman or a tall player, the hardest thing to budge, which I found, was someone who was a bit shorter than you because their centre of gravity is much lower than yours and they can get a little lower, and when you start to push against them, you cannot budge them because their centre of gravity is a little bit he's lower than yours.
That's
so that
enough.
Might be the reason why Silvani was getting in the road of what's his name?
Riley O'Brien.
Yes.
But wouldn't you think if you put a 110-kilo man up against a 70, 75-kilo man that he wouldn't be pushed to the ground?
No. It's very difficult
if you're lifting weight. I would think nine times out of ten, the heavier or stronger man would not get pushed to the ground.
Or woman.
Or,
yeah, but if your centre of gravity is lower, because you're using your upper body,
But he's 6'2". He's not like he's 5'4".
It's to get front position or hold front
position.
You've
got to lift weights, Don.
Yes, and you've got to use your upper body, which is your arms.
Bench press.
So your arm... Oh, well, that's all you did was press. That's why you're bloody... And bicep curls. That's all you did. No tricep extension. All you did was a protagonist muscle group. You didn't do the antagonist. So you're walking around like a gym freak.
So you're saying the way a ruckman is very good is if he's strong and lifts weights.
No. What I'm saying you're pushing...
Because I would have thought it had something to do with body position.
Or you're just like your old man. You're just like your old man. Shut up. Now... what you find when you're in a ruck contest that you're pushing, if you're both the same size, you say your levers are working about the same height off the ground. Okay, that's your arms and your body and your legs and your hips.
You're not pushing. But,
consequently, you need to have upper body strength. But when a ruckman comes up against a smaller fellow, he tries to throw his arms out and push and shove. He cannot do it because, as I told you, he's not pushing against the same levers. Yeah. They're a bit lower.
So why is Max Gawn winning a lot of ruck contests? Yeah. Why is Brody Grundy winning a lot of ruck contests?
Because the opposition, why do they do it? Because the opposition have got no idea about ruck play.
How much could you bench press in your day, Don?
What's that got to do with it?
Because you're saying that ruck work is about, and you're a 300-game ruckman. You're saying that bench pressing and strength was in the weights.
I've seen a lot of highlights on YouTube. A lot of Don's ruck craft came from his intensity and his passion for the game. I think he wasn't the strongest man or the most athletic. Well, you didn't have much skill.
Oh, hang on. He wasn't bad, but his drop kicks were like 9-iron chip shots to the green.
Well, you don't know if it's a 9-iron. It could be an 8 or a 7.
That's right. Could have been an 8-iron. Well, I'm glad you're paying attention, Max. Now, Don, how much could you bench press? I'm asking you. Because you're a big, strong lad. You used to come out there with a hairband over. You used to be bald and still wear a hairband.
You were that observant.
Well, I used to play against you for 18 years.
Ruck,
18 years.
They relegated you to the back pocket and sent half forward. You're never in the ruck.
Never relegated me to the back pocket.
I saw a video of you picking up our forward pocket.
That's
down
right.
At Geelong.
Because maybe your forward pocket was a potential match winner and they sent someone who's the only person that could contain him.
Position for you was over the fence.
How much could you bench press, Don? Oh, pretty good, Don. Yeah. Oh, you've strained, had a hernia doing it. Oh, yes, the big, strong Leviathan. Don't do as I say. Follow me. So, Don, did you listen to Max, any of that stuff? Now, what about...
I hope I gave you an explanation there, Max.
Not really, but I thank you for your comment.
What? So, what weren't you happy about, Max?
Well, Riley O'Brien's considered a better than the average tier ruckman. Okay. I don't understand from what Dad's said over the years and the very things that is that when you have a ruckman has a tremendous amount of craft about him when he goes one-on-one, and that is
they haven't got any craft. These fellows have got no craft.
So you had no craft when you were playing? No,
I said these fellows nowadays
haven't
because of the fact that they hold at centre bounce. They do not know how or when to use their body. They should be penalised by the umpires, but the umpires allow holding.
I think because the umpires don't know. Every time I see
all you had to do was lock hands once. The umpire would ping you, and you never locked hands for the rest of the game. Locked arms at a boundary throw-in, and you knew then to stay well away, and you use your body, your leap, and your positioning to get a hit out at the boundary line. Not like these guys who hug one another.
I just would have thought if a man stands taller and stronger than the opposing ruckman, that they would have a more advantage at stoppages.
I've just told you, mate.
John's just told you, you've got to do weights and...
No, it's a lower centre of gravity, and so consequently these guys...
Why are you speaking with your eyes shut?
Shut up, he's given an answer.
He's just got his eyes shut.
He's concentrating.
Why would you have to shut your eyes?
Because you're all giving me the shits.
Well,
that's fair enough.
Anyway, Max, lower centre of gravity, up against someone yourself who's taking your position at a boundary throw in, they're smaller than you and they can hold their position,
games I played football, I towed them up, anyone that was shorter or less... It was weaker than me, but Max Gorn doesn't get pushed under the ball.
Noticed Brody Holland or whatever his name is. Grundy. Now, Don, just to finish on your VFL and the women not throwing the ball or bouncing the ball, that's exactly why they're dumbing the game down. They're manipulating it to accommodate women who are umpires who can't bounce the ball. That's how our game is transgressing into just another form of basketball.
I went next door to my neighbours on Sunday to visit them, and they said, come in, which I did
that's
do.
Good,
and
they he's were in all, the yard again, bring him in.
They were...
Don, come on in out of the rain.
They were watching. They said, come in, this may interest you. This may interest you. And they were watching a black and white film, a replay of the 1971 grand final, which Hawthorn and St Kilda contested. And I must admit, it was KO, and the reproduction and the definition was sensational. For a black and white film, you could actually see the faces of the spectators when the ball went near the boundary line. That's how clear the definition was. It was terrific. Anyway, beside that, that's technical. And it was interesting listening to the comments of these people who are much younger, and they couldn't believe about the ball not being... when it was bounced, it didn't go straight. But that's part of ruck craft. You have to know that
the
there's three positions... Beg your pardon?
The ball was fatter, wasn't it?
No, not fatter. When the ball was bounced, it'd go three ways, Max. It'd either come to you, go to the opposition, it would go out in front of the umpire, it might go straight up. Because of the variation in the bounce, that's part of ruck craft, of where you stand and whatever else. Whereas nowadays, they couldn't believe the way the ball was moving. There was no remonstration. It was just part of the game. It was part of the uniqueness of our game.
Yes.
Now, it's so sterile that it's got to go straight up in the air.
And
to me, this is what's contributing to what they talked about a couple of weeks ago about knee injuries.
Yeah.
About ruckman coming in and clashing, because you couldn't do that when you didn't know which way the ball was going.
And that is, to my point, Don, I couldn't agree with you more. That, to my point, they've now they're just devaluing the game by having, if the women can't bounce the ball or men who are not physically strong can't bounce the ball, they say, oh, well, if you can't bounce it, throw it up. And that's defeating the whole purpose
that's
of
exactly
what you're
right.
saying.
And the ball wouldn't bounce, Max, as high around the ground as it would in the centre of the ground.
Now, Don.
Now, hang on, John.
Oh, all right.
And
Don.
They also went on, they couldn't believe the physicality of the game.
Absolutely.
And this is, again, how it has changed and how society has changed.
Yes.
That, you know, this concussion rule that they're all on about now, the players were just picked up, dusted down, and on you went, and it was a sign that you didn't show weakness. Now, also, Max, those players that came out of that era, not one of them has gone the AFL as far as concussion. It is the guys in the more modern era that are suing and more interested.
Exploiting it, eh?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Now, Don.
And that was tougher back then than what it is now and was with these
guys.
More
litigious.
By tenfold.
More litigious.
That's right. So that's society, Max.
Yes.
And that's how our game has changed, because society has become softer.
Right. Now, Don, can I ask you a question? You said you were watching the 1971 grand final because the people said, come in, Don. You're outside their house. And they said, Don, come in. And you came in and you sat down, I presume, or did they make you stand and watch it?
No, I sat on the poof.
Said you were watching,
I sat on the poof.
And you were watching, pardon?
You know, those little things that you put your leg on, the poof.
Ottomans. Yeah.
What do you call them?
Ottoman. An ottoman.
Ottoman.
I think we've moved on.
No, those things that have got patterns on.
Yeah, I think we've moved
they're
on.
They're stitched up and they're stuffed with whatever.
We have
you put your feet on them when you're on the couch.
Have they got legs?
No.
Oh, right.
It's a little round thing. It's called a puff.
We have moved on from the word puff, I think, Don, on to Ottomans now. No. And Don had his feet on the Ottomans.
Words still mean words. All right.
Right. So my point is, and you were watching it on KO, and you said you could, that was so clear, when the ball camera went over to the boundary, you could notice the faces on the spectators. what did you notice?
No, the definition, my friend, the definition.
That's what you took out
of all of that? What?
That's what you took out of all of that?
The fact that he said he could notice the faces on the spectators.
Well, consequently,
he spoke for 5 minutes and you couldn't get past the faces.
You've made a very good point, Max. Why would he mention that?
Because I'm just highlighting the definition.
The
so
drifts.
Consequently, it would flow onto the game, the definition.
Mate,
the players. It was so good, the definition. I don't know whether they've enhanced this movie or
earlier,
is it KO with its pixels or whatever else, or they got
three
better.
3 years earlier, mate, we watched a man step onto the moon. We could see his face. Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon.
No, it was blurry.
What?
That was very, very blurry.
Oh, yeah, it only come from 250,000 miles away. This was 4 feet away from when they...
How did you see his face? He had a bloody helmet on.
That's actually a good point.
And well, a space suit.
Yeah, you could see through the glass visor.
No, you couldn't.
You say you couldn't, Max, could you?
No, because there's a famous photo of him looking at the flag and the flag's in the reflection.
There's a famous photo of him looking at...
Of the flag that he planted on the moon, and the flag is in his visor reflection.
He's a famous photo of him looking at Earthrise over the horizon. Earthrise,
who?
Not moonrise, Earthrise. The Earth rising up over the equator of the moon, Don.
There must have been a lot of famous photos taken that day, were there?
It was a big day.
Oh, well, do you reckon when man stepped onto the moon?
Well, there's a lot of famous photos. Any more famous photos taken that day?
Famous photos in 1969.
No, on the moon. We've got the reflection of the flag and got the Earth rising.
And the LEM.
What?
The Lunar Orbiter Module. That
did they take a photo of that?
And the Eagle, it was called the Eagle, it landed in the...
Did they take a photo of the Eagle?
Tranquility Base. Do you know that's where it landed? And Richard Nixon said, do you want me to tell you what...
No, you've remembered. This is like the school roll. This is like the fourth year school roll at Geelong Grammar. Tell
me. Don't bring up the school
Richard
roll.
Nixon, who is the President of the United
States,
segment. Made a phone call to Neil Armstrong on the moon. Do you know what he said?
What the...
I'll do it for you.
Can you get me a Big Mac?
Oh, here we go. Said,
hello, Neil, Buzz. This has to be the most historic telephone
did
call.
Did Buzz say hello in return, or did he acknowledge the fact the president was on the other end of the phone?
He did.
Well, you'd mess that up. Give us Buzz.
Well, I'm not giving you Buzz.
Why
I'm
not?
Giving you Dick Nixon.
No, I want to know how Buzz responded.
Do you want to know what Dick Nixon said to Neil Armstrong? I'm not worried about what Neil Armstrong... Neil Armstrong said that's one small step for man, one giant leap for man.
Who said that to? The president.
He said that to the general world who were... Do you know
did
China
he have a microphone?
And North Korea, they didn't even acknowledge anyone had stood on the moon. They didn't even mention it in case people thought, oh, gee, they've got ahead of us in the space race. Hello, Neil Buzz. I'm speaking to you by telephone from the Oval Room of the White House. And this must be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of you. By what you have done, the heavens have become part of man's earth. And for one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you'll return safely to earth. This is Houston out.
That well, was, listen, that was very well read from the laptop. Well done. This is still
did
a sports
he read
segment
that off
well.
The laptop?
He was looking at it an awful lot.
Did you? I was going to credit your bloody memory, and you've read it off the bloody laptop.
Come round here, Don.
No.
Well, come and have a look
at
the
laptop. Well, the microphone's
up. To come and have a look at the laptop. The laptop has got your cadence bars on it, and which I'm not allowed to mention.
Okay, can I ask
you
a question? How do you remember that? Do you just sit down and write it out?
You ever heard of selective hearing?
Right,
he has selective
there's
memory.
There's the laptop there, Don. I'm turning my back
no,
away
I am
from the
not,
laptop.
No, don't do
shut
it again.
Up.
I'm
this
doing
is
it again.
No,
can you hear
this
me?
Is
hello,
a sport.
Neil Buzz. I'm speaking to you by telephone. Can you hear this?
Shit, we're doing a sports segment.
How the fuck do you get anything done?
Okay, I've got my back to it.
You wouldn't have read the Sun News Pictorial this morning.
That's correct.
about four pages in, finally, we got a little bit of netball. Why isn't the best game played in the world, played here in Australia, receiving more than fourth or fifth page in on the news pictorial?
Please don't.
Why isn't it up the front? We should get more of this.
Netball's very good.
What?
Netball's very good.
I think it's fantastic.
I would love to see a men's league.
What?
Yeah.
Leave it for the women.
No, Dave.
That's it. That is their sport.
I love the women's league. I'd love to see a men's league.
No, leave it to the women. They are terrific. And it's a sport that should be followed better than what it is. We do not know the players playing, the personalities involved.
Some of us do.
There's probably plenty of stories that go on, as much as any football league. And yet it doesn't receive the acknowledgement that it deserves.
So you reckon it should get equal time to the AFL?
My word.
Hang on. I think they've done a lot in terms of broadcasting it to more people. Well, I mean, it's on KO.
You got to pay for it to watch it, isn't it?
You
got
to pay
Fox
for to watch football, all football matches if you really want to.
Well, there is some free to air.
KO, but not to plug anything or anything. You can watch everything on that.
What, done. Does that cost you, KO?
Yeah, it costs you like $10 or $15 a month.
Would you rather watch the?
Does it really?
Yeah.
Don.
No, it wouldn't hurt your hip pocket too much. You've just whipped out $300 in a space of 5 minutes.
Would you rather watch, Don? Would you rather watch women's netball have that replace?
Yes.
Well, you don't know what I was going to say.
But I watched netball.
It'd be something to do with a question.
Don, could I finish
races?
The question?
Go.
Would you rather watch women's netball in place of the AFWL?
Oh,
I told you yes before. I anticipated your question.
No, he said AFLW, not AFL. He's trying
to. I heard AFW. I anticipated his question. AFLW. And I said yes.
So
you're watching the best athletes in the world
yeah.
playing netball, or the best netball athletes
yeah.
in the world playing in Australia in this domestic competition.
Okay, correct. Right. So now,
how did we get onto that?
We sport.
Right. And also,
I haven't finished mentioning Hetia Labumba.
Yeah, hang on, I haven't finished mentioning about the 71 grand final. You know how many, Max?
Yes.
You're a young lad. How many people do you think attended that game in 1971? It wasn't the record.
100,000.
No.
No? Wait, where was it?
MCG.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to do a proper count, but I would say 90 to 100,000.
Try 115. And the record, I think, John, was 120, wasn't
it? Yes, 121.
Now, that is the
days
gone by. Beg your pardon?
That was grand final between, that's in 1970, wasn't it?
It might have been 1970, but 115,000 watched.
121's a record.
I thought Essendon v Collingwood on Anzac Day had the highest attendance.
Recently?
No, not recently.
It was 120,000, Max. That was when standing room was available at the MCG.
And you know the biggest crowd that's ever watched
an event?
At the event?
At MCG is Billy Gray.
Yeah, no, I was... Do you know the biggest crowd... biggest crowd that's watched watched a football game at the MCG in the last 20 years is what?
Past 20 years? It's got to be an Anzac Day match.
It is Liverpool.
The practice match. Liverpool against Real Madrid?
Liverpool.
No, they played Melbourne Victory.
Victory.
Play a four-round thing. Victory
the biggest football crowd in the last, I think, 20 years at the MCG was when Liverpool played a practice match against... exhibition game against Melbourne Victory. There was 96,000 people there.
That would be more than an... that's disgraceful that a grand final can't get more than that. But soccer's the number one sport in the world, apparently.
By far.
Features on YouTube when that crowd sang...
Don.
Yes.
Oh,
we will not... What's that song they sing over there? Jerry and the Pacemakers had it.
Yes, and always stand with me or something.
Jerry and the Pacemakers, remember, from Merseyside.
As long as it's not Never Tear Us Apart.
Won't Stand Alone or something.
Yeah, right? We Shall Stand Alone.
Jerry and the Pacemakers, it was a hit.
Yeah,
back in the 60s.
Too.
God, Ferry Across the Good Mersey times. Was one that he had. And he had this other song, Jerry and the Pacemakers. What is that song? They sing it all the time at Manchester United.
And you shall never stand alone.
Speaking quickly about old music. Or
Google it,
music,
Johnny.
Do you know who I discovered recently?
No, Max.
Humperdinck.
Engelbert?
Yeah.
A Man Without Love.
Do you know what his name was? Jerry Dorsey.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did he change it? Or
did
he change it from that to Humperdinck or vice versa?
What do you reckon?
I honestly don't know.
His name was Jerry Dorsey. Do you reckon his name was Engelbert Humperdinck and he changed it to Jerry Dorsey? You idiot.
He was a one-hit wonder, wasn't he?
Never know.
Engelbert Humperdinck. I think he was a challenge to Tom Jones at the time.
Anyway, it's very good.
Do you think so?
The song that I listen to is very good. I enjoy classic music.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
Takes you back?
No, mate. No, I never listen to him.
Never listen to him. Who did you listen to, Don?
No, not him.
No, not him. Right. Sport.
What about Liz?
Let's get on to Harry O'Brien.
Could we include Liz Cambridge in that as well?
Yeah. What's his name?
Oh, Liz. What a disgrace she is. Liz.
Why?
Liz Cambage.
Cambage. Why?
Because it's an insult to everyone. As someone who follows Australian basketball.
Do you think it was racist what she said?
Yeah, to the Nigerian players?
No, well, it was, absolutely. Do you think it was racist though?
What did she say?
Something that you can't go back to your third world country.
Yeah, go back to your third world country. To the Nigerian players.
Is that racist?
Of course it's not racist. That's not racist.
No, I don't think
that's saying go back to where you came from.
I think it's discriminatory.
It's derogatory. But
derogatory, that's
not the
word.
It's not racist. Go back to where you came from, Don. Go back down to the Mornington Peninsula. That's not racist.
Yeah, but hang on. The adjectives were third world country.
Well, the person probably came from a third world country, Nigeria.
Well, that's a subjective thing, isn't it?
But it's not
by
racist.
By classifying.
That's not racist.
That's what I'm asking. Is it racist?
No, but it's on the same... It's borderline with... Whilst not being called racist, it's derogatory enough that can be... I don't know how to say that properly, but it's not racist, but it's just as bad as a racist comment. That's terrible. And it's also terrible, her response to the Opals and Basketball Australia. Like Andrew Gaze said yesterday on SEN, it's a slap in the face. It's an insult to everyone that's tried to support her the best as she could. She's just disgraceful.
That's why
I love Andrew Bogut, because he calls that out.
Yeah, but I don't think it's racist. I thought she was accused of racism. I didn't think that. And the other thing with Hurtia Lumumba, what is
Lumumba? Lumumba.
What is his ultimate goal?
I tell you what, his ultimate goal is notoriety and making himself an Andy Warhol famous for 15 minutes in his life. Why anyone takes any notice of what's going on there with that person, it is extraordinary. But first of all, he said that Collingwood, someone showed a pornographic image of trying to show how to tackle someone in a pornographic image. Then he said... What's he said?
I don't think that was the pornographic image from what I've heard.
This isn't a football club. What has that got to do with what he's on about? Then he said Gary Pert had said made some comment about
But John, in all fairness,
no, mate.
If you're a coach of a team or you allowed something like that to go up on screen when it's a serious matter, I think you've got to look at yourself.
What has that got to do with him being racism?
I think more to the point was the fact that the recording, he recorded Nathan Buckley's conversation with him. Are you allowed to do that?
Mate, what?
You are if
why?
It's...
No, you're if you're not allowed to.
If you're unaware, Max, you've got to tell someone
you're doing it.
Have you got to tell someone?
Yes, of course you do. You have to say, I'm recording this conversation. You
are
do.
Are you sure?
If it's for public rebroadcast, of course you do. Now, Don,
Hang on. Well, this is a technicality.
Why does anyone take this man
John,
seriously?
This is
the man who in the football record,
I know,
the
you're
AFL...
You're going back over the
Well, then,
ground.
No one ever brings that up. He's singling out the Collingwood Football Club for racist comments and being racist, and this is the very man who said in an AFL publication that his preferred nickname was Chimp. Now, seriously, and if someone called him a chimp, he'd say that's racist. You cannot make this stuff up. Why anyone takes any notice of that person?
But what's and it, what this is his the ultimate
Caroline
goal?
Wilson want to syndrome. Know they keep going on about trying to divide the whole country along racial lines. Seriously, just because someone doesn't like someone from another race doesn't mean to say it's racist. It means that they're either jerks or they're not getting on with someone or they're assholes. I mean, it has nothing to do with your race. If it's a bit like if you say that you don't like someone, that's got nothing to do with the race of the person. It just means you don't like them for whatever reason. Racism, it's the most overused and
okay. Well, what is his why is he keep doing it? What is his ultimate aim or what is he trying to achieve?
It's not just him as well.
Who is it?
There's Nathan, I think Nathan Cracker's involved in it, yeah, Cerioli and everything like that.
No, hang on. I think you haven't investigated this properly. That's a separate issue, Cyril Rioli.
Yes.
And why do their names keep on getting thrown in with
Hurtier.
So Cracker, Collingwood befriended Cracker, got him back to the club, and now he's turned on him. I mean, it is there is an industry going where conflict is
good. You think there will be a class action down the track?
It's why anyone takes any notice of this? Because it is a furphy that this is a rampant in all the clubs. It's not rampant in any of the clubs. And just because you might ostracise someone for whatever reason just doesn't mean to say that's a racist thing. It might be just because they're bloody unpopular. I mean, shit, you've probably been ostracised by people. I have done when I played football. This is the culture of a football club. It doesn't mean to say that it's racist just because you have a differing opinion or an adverse opinion about someone from another race. It's got nothing to do with racism. But this gets prolonged and promoted by people like Wilson and that Rioli stuff and Cracker and Hettier, whatever his name is. It is why it gets picked up by the media. And it's just a avenue to divide and keep dividing along racial lines. It's pathetic.
Yeah, but it gets picked up because AFL is the number one sport in Victoria. Of course it's going to get picked up. Any little thing will get picked up. And it's not like they don't talk about the other end of the spectrum. It's not like they don't talk about the other end of the spectrum with Cozzy Pickett and Maurice Rioli Jr., who are absolute stars. And I love watching Cozzy Pickett go about it at Melbourne. He's fantastic. It's no one really talks about their love for...
It's like Adam Goods coming back.
What? Max, finish it.
Their love for those players. And, they're just... Everyone always talks about the hate that has been apparent to them or that they say that they've encountered.
So what are they trying to achieve?
I don't know.
Adam Goods.
I would say justice was some form of compensation on the side.
What's with Adam Goods? So Adam Goods came back to the Swans last week. And
he
they
did
all,
for the reunion.
Yes, and they all embraced him and good on it. Good on it. And then
his teammates.
I said good on him, right. Max. And then the very fact that then people said, he was booed out of the game. Well, he might have been booed out of the game, but it wasn't because he was Indigenous or an Aboriginal. Maybe it's because he pissed people off the way he played at certain sections of the... And they started booing, and then the AFL said, don't boo him. So everyone said, if the AFL tell us not to do something, we'll do it. So they started booing him. Who said it was the majority of people booing because they were racist? It might have been just because he was a jerk or he rubbed people up the wrong way who watched him. But good on him coming back. But, I mean, seriously, everything is not considered racist if you actually have an adverse opinion about someone for whatever reason. It's not necessarily racism, and it happens in a lot of football clubs. Plenty of people get ostracised and spoken ill of.
Do you know the worst ground to play at in our day was Geelong? The reason being, you'd walk out of the race at Geelong and the Geelong people would literally spit on you. Because the race was below ground level. They were looking through this wire cage. Mm. Now, do you call that a form of, not racism, but...
No, it's not racism.
It's not racism, but...
He was on the side doing it as well.
Yeah, we encourage people to spit on the opposition. When I was the captain in 1976...
We were told by our coach at the time, if they don't punch and spit on you and do it, you've never made it as a footballer.
That's it. No. Well, I instructed the players when...
instructed them. Didn't even know their names. Did you know that, Max? He was the captain of the team at Geelong.
Mm.
Now, back in our day, the umpires came in prior to the game and you took the umpires around and introduced them to the players. They also brought the ball in and the visiting team picked out which ball, or there was, you know, they put an X on. So there was a little bit of a ritual. And your father came to a man and his name was Gerald, and he forgot his name. Now, this is his teammate.
That doesn't surprise me.
He forgot it. He got to him and said, yes. Now, this is...
Why do you say that, Mark?
This is... this is...
Max, sorry. Max.
What's your
name? Shut up, John. You
had to ask, what is his name? How embarrassed... He's the captain of the team. He doesn't know his teammate.
But he can do the roll call, though, from...
Don, when I was...
I was writing an article on...
I was the captain.
I was asked... I was doing a story...
When I was the captain of Geelong, I came out, Max, I came out and I used to say to the people on the by the race, I used to say to the people, when the Hawthorn side come out, to the supporters, I used to say to the supporters, when the Hawthorn people come out, could you make sure you spit on the Hawthorn players as they come out the race? And don't make it good, honest spit. Make sure it's phlegm. Yeah. And make sure it lands on number 23, the man with the headband with no hair, Don Scott. Could you make sure you spit on him? I used to ask the supporters to do that, and then I'd go back in and get changed and come
You had
out.
An interesting mix of supporters. You had cretins down.
Do you think you know I turned him off?
No.
No.
You had an interesting mix of supporters at Geelong. You had the cretins who'd spit, and then you'd have all the private school students who'd come out for the afternoon. They were let out. The girls from Morongo, Geelong Grammar, Geelong College, the boys.
Yes, Don.
And they'd also.
What was that?
Can I just say?
Hang on.
This is such a good sports section.
Yeah. So all right, Don, this is a little bit of sport now.
Oh, talking about sport, Max.
Yes.
There was a race meeting. I tuned in. I came in on...
A what
I think
meeting?
It was Monday.
Just a minute, Don, a what meeting?
A race meeting at Kyneton on Monday.
Racism.
Now, the race was 2,800 metres and 40, I think it was.
2,800 metres and 40.
Yeah, 2,840 metres, right?
2,840.
Shut up. So it meant that the race had to start at the opposite side of the race course to the finishing post.
What kind of race
now,
is
shut
this?
Up, Joe.
What
let
kind
me
of
finish.
Race is this?
Horse race.
Oh, right.
So that is normally where the, I don't know, the 1,100 or the 1,000 or the 1,400 would normally start, right? Now, they don't have too many... 2,800 metre 40 races.
No,
anyway, the jockey, there was a jockey who didn't realise the distance of the race. So as they started
went
in the back straight, well done, Max. Mm. He went too hard too early. And as he came into
poor
the
jockeys.
Home straight for the first time, he drew the whip on
the
horse.
He greeted the judge.
He drew the whip on the horse. His name was Michael Poy. He took the whip to the horse and got it out in front, and he was so far in front he didn't have to use the whip again, and relaxed as he went over the finish line. He thought, how easy is that? And the throng behind him started to catch him. He realised as he went past one of the jockeys, said, hey, we've got another lap to do. So into the horse he goes again and finishes last. Unfortunately, he's been suspended for 2 months.
Because of
I've
what,
never
whipping,
seen that before.
Why did he get suspended?
Yeah, why did he get suspended?
Well,
stupidity.
Because people were betting on the horse.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of money involved.
He might have done it on purpose.
Well, we're not going to say that.
No, we're not.
Like, the stewards checked him out to see if he was all right, health-wise, mentally, I suppose, whether he was capable. Anyway, he came out in the next race and he won. So he... Hmm. You know, I know that's no justification, but he has now got to face 2 months of suspension.
If you are thinking you of, I'm not sure who you're thinking of voting for in the upcoming election.
This is a sports segment.
No, this is, Max, this is the longest sports segment we've ever done. If you're thinking of who to vote for, do you realise the Victorian debt is about to hit $200 billion by the year 2025?
If you listened to last week's podcast, I would have said that we all owe $25,000 each. Max, $25,000, you $20,000, and me $25,000 as well.
$200 billion is the state debt.
$160 billion at the moment, isn't it?
It said by the year 2025, in 3 years, it'll be $200 billion. And also, did you notice, and this is just interesting, this is about China's reach. They're taking over the Solomon Islands. They demanded that Sony, remove the Statue of Liberty from the Spider-Man movie. In the background, you could see the Statue of Liberty because it was filmed there and it was computer-enhanced.
Keep going. What's the story?
Well, China asked Sony to remove the Statue of Liberty for the film to be released in China. and Sony said, no, we're not doing that. Can you believe these people? When I say these people, very nice people who live here from China, but the mainland of China is they're out of control.
You talked about thought process was you mentioned about the debt that we're incurring. Now, I haven't watched any of, I don't take much interest in the election that's going on at the moment because it's all short-term fixed stuff, but Albanese did come out with something. I think 2 days ago. He came up with a proposition of enticing the brightest students who graduate with their VCE by offering an incentive to become teachers.
Yeah, maths and science?
Well, it doesn't matter what it was, but how stupid and short-sighted is that? So you give money to these students to help them through their university degree. Mm. What happens when they come out? Do they do a time in the teaching department? Wouldn't it be better to attract people by increasing the pay rates of teachers?
Absolutely.
They're as important, if not more important, than any other profession in society because they are the educators.
Absolutely.
So our doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs all start at school. And if you don't get a decent grounding in education, well, you haven't got much, you're not really prepared for life. Now, there is Albanese offering money to entice people to go and do that. But they don't look at what could be done further down the track.
What the fuck are you doing?
Is this You'll Never Walk Alone?
This is it.
Is this a song?
Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Oh, my God. He's just brought up a good point. You're a Muppet.
Well,
that was from 15 minutes ago.
This is what we do.
Don't blaspheme, Jack. That's bad.
This is the song that Don thinks
I'm
is
bad.
Great.
That's Max. That's Max.
Max, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jerry and
Jack. Oh, John. Anyway, it's one of you.
This is the one, Don. This is the one you like. We'll never walk alone. Right, that's it now.
That's fantastic that you've become computer literate. But it
is a good point that you bring up with about teachers because what do you do?
Shut up.
Because what do you do when you put someone through that education and get them to be the top of their class of any form of teaching? They go to the best schools to go and do it, which is not where they're needed.
Do you know, Max, that you can come back to the education system when you're 21, I think it's through some adult learning situation. You don't necessarily have to have passed your VCE, but you can come in as a mature age student and become a teacher.
What, without any form of study?
Well, you haven't received the VCE or you've left school, you can come back as an adult.
Okay,
that's
kids,
why people don't pronounce H properly. It's H, not H.
Quite right. Now, so this has degenerated into shit now, Don. So we've gone for another 43 minutes. So we're going to wind this up and we're coming back.
I was going to talk about my cricket jumper. That was
go sport. Ahead.
I was going to talk about the Formula One as well.
Go ahead.
This is what happens when you don't talk about sport in the sports segment.
Very good point about the Formula One, Max.
That's why I thought it'd be
that
good.
That is the most anticlimactic sport in the world.
It was. I went to Florida.
it is. Honestly, you cannot get... And Andrew Westacott did a fantastic job promoting our Grand Prix here. He can't do anything about the racing. It is the most boring sport. Why don't they do something to fix it? The whole whole thing in interest is when they line up, and when it starts, it is so boring. They've the most anticlimactic sport in the world.
Isn't that the same in any car?
Wasn't the Australian? Wasn't the Melbourne Grand Prix?
I went to the. What was that Sandown Classic they used to have with the saloon cars? I went there back in the '70s.
The V8s.
The start is terrific. While they jockey for position, the finish is the next best thing.
Yeah,
in between, nothing.
You watch NASCAR?
Like watching paint dry.
What about NASCAR?
No, they go around in a circle.
They race within an inch of each other the whole way round at 200 miles an hour. Miles an hour, Don. Anticlimactic sport. So any other things, Max, you'd like to mention? Or Don, at sport?
Well, Max,
or anything at all?
Max, you've got a puffer on which is made of man-made fibres. Is it very warm?
It's incredibly warm.
Okay, well, I went out and bought a cricket jumper.
Right.
Made of wool. Sport. Sleeveless. And it
sleeveless? It's not a jumper then?
Well, what is it, Max?
It's a vest.
Well... It's what the cricketers wear, and it comes down.
Sleeveless jumper.
And it comes down below your buttocks.
Mm. Yeah, it's massive.
My back pain has disappeared.
That's good. Oh,
Jesus, seriously.
Well, I'm just saying about the benefits of wool.
Absolutely.
Instead of man-made fibres.
Wool's a lot heavier, though.
Yes, it is.
Wool is a lot heavier than this puffer jacket.
Let's get this straight. Don's bought a sleeveless cricket jumper which comes down
made
over
of wool,
his buttocks.
Cable
his
knitted.
Back's never been in better nick. At this stage, Don, we're going to wind this up. You're starting to speak absolute shit now.
Heaps more sport. What's going on in the NBA? What's going on in the AFL? You spoke about two AFL greats, spoke about the game for 5 minutes.
Mick Christian has been usurped. And Ivan Milat.
Well, you've created this monster.
He's a monster.
You've created this monster.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
what else do you want to talk about?
Come
on, you're the prompter. You're the producer.
Who, me?
No.
Well, go on. Give us the sport take.
What about the basketball in America?
Or the playoffs are happening at the moment.
No,
I realise.
No.
And it was on between the two big boys.
We're not speaking about the best. That's the most boring sport.
We have Australians over there doing the
very,
country
very
crowd.
Well, aren't they?
Matisse Thybulle for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's playing well. No, you don't
do
care.
Do you know there's 50... There's
Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey, he was...
Did he make the All-Star team?
No, he's a rookie.
Yeah, I understand that, but what's the name made it, I think, in his first year?
Do you know there's 40 Australians...
Didn't he?
Made it in his second or third
year. Do you know there's 40
year.
Australians over in America at the minute... who are kickers for the NFL.
Yes, Dustin Fletcher's kid is.
There's 40 of them.
Is Eddie McGuire's son doing it?
Yes.
Where's he? Is he over there now?
He's being tested as a punter. There's 40 Australians
over there. Is he with Nathan Chapman as we talk?
Not sure. Which kid? Sorry. Which boy?
Xander, I think.
Xander. Oh,
I think. Well, he's only got two. It's either Joe or Xander. I think it's
Xander's a younger one, isn't he?
I think it is. I might be in error there.
So there's
that's
four,
okay.
40.
You don't know your own kids.
I'd ring Ed, but he's in India at the minute.
Who?
Ed.
I thought you were talking about Xander. I thought he was in America.
No, Eddie is in India. He's trying.
Now, Max, if you're right across sport, what about the Melburnian that went over there and he's the heaviest player in the NFL? Is he going to actually get a game?
Yeah, I think so. Heavy
yes,
in the NFL.
Yes, but
is
he good, though? I watched the shorts of him and he does block. Yeah. But is
he
good enough to get a game with the men?
Absolutely.
This has been fantastic this today. Don said that people in Iceland are listening. I'm not sure that they'll resonate. Any of this last chat will resonate with people.
Your father is deficient in. He's not an all-round person. He's got his own little.
I'm thinking
and
of
if
the
you go
people
outside
in
his
Iceland.
Area, it's good to chat with you, Max, because we can broaden our horizons. You have got a wide horizon. Your father is very narrow.
Only in sport.